Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone.
Hola a todos.
This is Shahaira.
And this is Stephanie. And welcome back to another episode of Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Feliz miércoles a todos. We hope you're all having a wonderful week so far and hopefully a good day también.
Yes, we wish you all well. And just a reminder, we still have some merch available. Tenemos stickers, notebooks, mugs, and a few t-shirts left.
So yeah, so if you want to join the Dicho Squad, definitely go check it out. You can find all of our merch over at cuentocrimenpodcast.com. And actually, I recently got myself a notebook, and I was telling Steph, I was like, I think I'm going to start bulleting. It looks like fun.
Yeah.
But it also looks like a commitment.
It's a commitment.
Yeah. So let's see if I can do it.
Yeah. I see those like TikToks and it looks so satisfying.
Yeah.
But yeah, go check out our merch. I think right now we decided to do a little like promo that will be going on next week. So by the time y'all are listening, it will be live. We're doing buy a t-shirt and you get a mystery notebook. So one of the three for free.
We'll pick it for you. So yeah, so if you want to join the promo, definitely check it out. Yeah, I think just a reminder for y'all, because sometimes we forget we have merch. So then we're like, y'all probably did too.
Yeah, we're not very good at like advertising it.
Oops, yeah. No, just kidding.
It's just a lot of work. We're a small team. So here we are trying. But anyways, let's get into the true crime case for today.
So today's episode is again on the shorter side, but it was a requested case, and this case was requested by Crystal. So Crystal, if you're listening, shout out to you. Thank you so much for bringing this case to us. We weren't aware of it. When we started researching the case, we were very shocked to hear that the people involved in this case actually lived very close to us.
Yeah, it's super close. It makes you realize how small the world is. But we'll get into the details in a little bit. So today we will be talking about Michelle Rose David, a 22-year-old who was unexpectedly murdered.
Y antes de empezar, we would like to give you all a heads up because we will be talking about sensitive topics. Entonces queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
También queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y a las víctimas. Okay, let's begin.
So, como dijimos, hoy vamos a hablar de Michelle Rose David. Y ella originalmente era de Pleasanton, California, which is super, super close to Steph and I.
Yeah, it's like super close. I think it's like the closest place that has a good mall for us. And
right?
Yeah. And it's a bit of a drive, but it's not like out of our way.
Definitely not more than an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, like, maybe if there's like really bad traffic, then yeah. But mostly it's like
30 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, my mom works there actually. So it's like her daily commute. Entonces no está tan lejos de nosotros. And this area specifically is a very suburban-like area. Mm-hmm. At least I compare to the city where Steph and I are. Mm-hmm. Like if you go out there, like it's safer, the houses are bigger, you know, it's a suburban.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, it's definitely on the calmer side. Entonces, Michelle vivía con su mamá, her stepbrother, and she also had two sisters, but we aren't too sure if they lived with her or if they had already moved out. But overall, it seems like Michelle tenía una familia bonita and, like, you know, loving family.
And honestly, all her family had nothing but wonderful things to say about her. Dicen que ella estaba llena de alegría, that, you know, she was that ray of sunshine in any room.
And she was very young. She was barely starting to live her life. Michelle attended Amador Valley High School, and there she met her high school boyfriend, que se llama Dan Shoemaker.
Y los dos eran de la misma edad, and so they ended up graduating together, and they both, I mean, decided, we don't know, like, the story behind it, like, you know, their relationship in their high school years, but they both ended up at San Diego State University.
Mm-hmm. And we aren't too sure how their relationship was, pero sí leímos que las familias se conocían ya por años, and it seems like they were all friends.
Yeah, it seemed like both families had nothing but nice things to say about each other. It's probably like they were family friends, which is kind of cool if you think about it. Like, mm-hmm. just getting along with the person you're dating and, like, their family.
Mm-hmm. Potential, like, in-laws, right. You know, and that's, you know, a good dynamic. So now we're fast forwarding to 2010, when Michelle was 22 years old and Dan was 21 years old. Y después de estar juntos por 3 años, ellos terminaron la relación. And again, no sabemos los motivos por qué terminaron.
Maybe they were, I mean, we were just thinking, like, maybe they started growing apart, mm-hmm. or, you know, because I feel like cuando te vas de high school to college, I feel like it's a very different you. And sometimes people grow apart. But again, we're not sure. Like, mm-hmm. that's just me being...
speculating.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're not too sure what happened. But it seemed like it was okay. Like, you know, Michelle never mentioned anything about being scared of Don's reaction or such things. You know, like being scared of leaving the relationship. Like, parecía que it was just like... they just fell off.
Yeah, and Michelle was living her best life, and she was actually just a few weeks away from receiving her bachelor's degree in journalism and media studies, and she had a minor in international relations.
Honestly, just like a little side note, I've always been very interested in that field, mm-hmm. and I always regret not going into that field.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, Michelle was thriving in college. Ya se... iba a graduar en unas pocas semanas, and she was also very involved in her community. Like, she had found her people.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool, because college can be a scary place for someone who comes from, you know, maybe the smaller town, like Pleasanton, right? Mm-hmm. And you're moving to San Diego, which I haven't been there, but I imagine it to be more of a college town. And, you know, she found her place there, and she was thriving, and mm-hmm. yeah.
But unfortunately, Michelle's life took a turn on December 10th, 2010.
And this day was a regular day like any other. Y en este día, Michelle se levantó a sacar a su perro a caminar cuando de repente she was shot to death.
Neighbors say that they heard a few gunshots outside, and some of them came running out. Y cuando llegaron afuera, encontraron a Michelle on the floor fighting for her life. She was quickly taken to the hospital, but sadly, she did not make it.
There were some witnesses that were able to describe the person that shot her. And the description was that this person matched the description of Dan, her ex-boyfriend.
Y entonces, cuando la policía empieza a buscar a Dan, they quickly realized that this case was actually not just a murder, but a murder-suicide. Encontraron el carro de Dan a few blocks down from Michelle's apartment, and inside the car was Dan's body.
Dan had shot himself to death, and investigators do say que en el cuarto de Dan encontraron una nota que él había dejado. But they never revealed it or shared it to the public what that note said. So we don't know what he wrote, you know?
Which is interesting to read, like, why they would never want to share it, you mm-hmm. know? Because I feel like most of the times we kind of do know.
Yeah.
There was a note left behind, but in this situation, we could not find it anywhere. And honestly, it is truly heartbreaking to see how this case ended. You know, like, they were just two young adults and they lost it all. Ya sé que no sabemos los motivos as to why Dan did what he did, but I'm sure it probably had something to do with the breakup. Maybe he wasn't too happy with it, which is honestly really unfair to Michelle.
Yeah, really unfair to Michelle and also to him. Like, I don't know, there's more out there. You know, there's life outside of a partner. And I know it's tough and like there's a lot of layers to it. But reading this, my reaction is like, this is very unfortunate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Michelle never got to receive her degree that she was just weeks away from receiving, something that she worked so hard for a couple of years. And she didn't even get to celebrate that. So
it's really unfortunate. Crazy? Like, mm-hmm. It's literally right there and you just don't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And as Steph and I were researching, something that was like very interesting to us was to see how the two families held nothing against each other. Like, lo que pasó fue algo muy fuerte, you know, like they both lost someone. But still, when Michelle's grandpa was questioned and interviewed, he made it clear that there were no hard feelings towards Dan's family.
He said, and we quote, "We've seen each other every day, gotten together when they've had their moments. They cry and I prayed with them. I've had my moments, we've hugged and shared and have had meals together dealing with the pleas and comforting each other," end quote.
And I think, honestly, like just hearing that, like I feel like it takes someone really special
mm-hmm.
to be able to carry that mentality. Like, you know, that Dan's family no tuvo la culpa de lo que mm-hmm. pasó entre Dan and Michelle.
Yeah, like they're both just as heartbroken.
Yeah.
And like there's just so much loss that I feel like maybe in this situation there's no room for any other feeling, like true. Being anger towards the other.
Towards the other family.
Mm-hmm. So I think they found their closure juntos. Mm-hmm. Michelle's family lost Michelle and Dan's family also lost him. And they have to live with the fact that their son did this horrible action.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, they might be also, like, grieving the other person, too, because they also saw Michelle grow and the other family saw Dan grow. Yeah. So
it's crazy to think about, like, just the fact that there's always two sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Dan obviously is, like, the villain in this situation because mm-hmm. he was the one who murdered Michelle and then he took his own life away. You know, but in, like, yeah, Michelle's family lost Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
But then Dan's family also lost Dan, and like to think of the horrible actions that he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if that makes sense. It's trippy.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And that is all for this week's case. Like we said, it is on the shorter side, but it was requested, so we did want to, you know, bring it to light. And again, shout out to Crystal for requesting. And yeah, I think that's all for this week. We will see you all next week.